life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame: dynamite in the brain.
You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. Tonight's episode, our fourth annual Angels Eggisode. In the aftermath, we couldn't convince anybody to join us this time.
Why was that? Because I was convinced.
That we were planning on doing In the Aftermath and decided to avoid it.
So, but I did both anyway.
You did both anyway. I only did the one. even though I kind of wanted to do both, but I have been a little ill, so this was what I managed to watch. And even then, I'm not entirely sure. To be honest, In the Aftermath is somehow more confusing than Angel's Egg.
It's
particularly if you've seen Angel's Egg.
I feel like you've got to disassociate what you already know, or what you already think you know.
So, this is a 1987 production, directed by Carl Kolpayat. And it is a science fiction post-apocalypse film called In the Aftermath. Why are we recording it on the Angel's Egg episode? Because they licensed Angel's Egg, and probably I would say 50% of the movie, maybe more, is Angel's Egg.
Yeah.
But dubbed and recontextualized.
Oh, I hate it already. I'm sorry.
And
go on.
Here's what they say about the Blu-ray.
There's a Blu-ray for this?
There's a Blu-ray which came out last year for this.
There's so much good stuff that doesn't get a Blu-ray release. And then there's this.
Yes, like Angel's Egg being one of the things. I suspect this is the reason why. Right, so this is what they say. An angel comes to Earth's aid after a nuclear holocaust in this mix of live-action and animated footage taken from the classic Japanese animation Angel's Egg by Mamoru Oshii, open brackets, Ghost in the Shell, close brackets.
And it's all it says?
That's all I saw on the page I could find about it.
Okay.
On the RoninFlix.com page.
Fair one.
The Blu-ray's produced by Code Red. It is in a brand new HD master. We did not watch that though. We watched the crappy version, which is on YouTube.
Which I think adds, if anything, I feel it's going to benefit the film. I think it gives me that little bit of sympathy. I think, I'm watching it on YouTube. It gets a bit of a slack. But if I'd bought a Blu-ray for this film,
The cover describes it as a horrifying vision of man's worst nightmare.
It's not that bad. Is it really?
So, it stars Tony Marks as Frank, our lead character. Kenneth McCabe as Goose, the more interesting character who gets killed.
He's fantastic, but, Goose.
Katie Lee as the voice of the angel. She's the only person you may be familiar with. She was the voice of Sheila from the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. Rolf from Muppet Babies, and is currently the dub voice for Usopion in Yo-Kai Watch.
Okay. Still going strong with the voice acting.
And Ian Ruskin as Jonathan. He's also a voice actor, but not of much of note as Katie Lee. The music is by Anthony Moore, who is best known as an associate of Pink Floyd. And in general, if you look at the production staff, most of them have had decent careers. So the director-writer, Carl Kolpayat, he's got a much bigger career as a producer. And some of the stuff you've heard of, he started with Roger Corman. So if you look at the list on IMDb, the art department assistant is now the lead sculptor on the upcoming Godzilla vs. Kong. The reason I looked it up is because if you look on the YouTube, there's somebody making a comment. I don't know who it is.
He said,
I worked on this, and he was explaining how, while it might be shitty, it got your foot in the door in Hollywood. You could point to it, you could say, I have done this work.
It's a smart idea. Like, in that regard, it's obviously worked for them.
Yes.
I don't know if you could get away with it now. just with like YouTube and stuff like that, it's so easy to kind of just make anything and stick it somewhere.
Yes, because the live action bits do feel like something which would now be on YouTube.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. It feels like somebody's Fallout themed LARP being filmed. I don't know.
I think it looks newer than 88 or 87, whichever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, there's no mention of any sort of special features on this Blu-ray which might shine any illumination onto the logic of this production. Because
here's in terms of the story.
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's got the Angel's Egg animation, that's great. It's got a relatively name voice actor, somebody who was getting work before and after. And it's work people would... They might not know the name, but the people would know the work of Katie Lee. And it's got Anthony right. Moore, who's associated with Pink Floyd. And the music's good. It's
how different. Big of an associate is he with Pink Floyd?
Let me see. I'm
Googling him as well. But yeah. You're right what you say. The music is pretty yes. good.
He's got his own Wikipedia page.
But has
page.
That problem, which is they yes. decide to overscore everything.
Yes, and there's a bit with a piano performance that just seems to go on forever.
Which is a great song.
Yes.
It's I've got the name of the song, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. Carnavalito Tango, and it's a fantastic piece. But it's so weird when it gets
What
played.
It feels like is they licensed the anime, then they'd produced the score, and they'd done the dub tracks for the anime. Uh-huh. And then they'd run out of money, and then they hastily had to throw together all the other bits of it to make it into a film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because those live actors, I think like the two leads have done other stuff, but it's like lots of the other people in it, like the Psycho Soldier, I believe, on IMDb.
They're just a person.
It's just, that's like their only credit.
Yeah.
And the Doctor who shows up later in the film. So,
I mean, I like, the more I think about that as like a production ploy, not even, well, yeah, to get the foot in the door, it makes so much sense. But why is Oshii must just be listed as a writer just because of the Angel's Egg, surely?
Yes, yes. And it's like, they list all the, they list everybody who's to do with,
do they?
In the credits, yeah, they're all in there.
Oh, well, that's good. Huh. I wasn't sure if he had somehow, he was pals with these dudes, and he was like, oh no, they do this with it. And, like, he had some input on the story, but. Yeah. I hate it every second. Yeah, not that bad. In fact, I start to hate it more. The longer I'm watching it, the more I dislike it.
I had, once Goose was out of the picture, I lost interest.
I like their introduction where they're chatting on. I was on, whatever that was doing at that point, I was on board with that.
Yes.
They have a good screen chemistry.
So.
It works.
There's kind of as far as I can tell, what they're doing is they're repurposing the animation from Angel's Egg to tell the story of this angel and her brother Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And the angel wants to help people, but she wants trying to find somebody who is a good person to help. And she's observing the toil of particularly this guy Frank, who we meet in this post-apocalyptic Earth, where him and his mate Goose are looking for carbon filters for their
polystyrene.
Oxygen tank things, yes. They're like air. They can take in the polluted air and turn it into breathable air. And Goose appears to be British.
Is that? I made note of this because there's a point where he sounds a bit Australian.
That's the thing. I've seen people say this is an Australian film. I don't, and I've said it's an Australian film based on what other people have said, but I don't know if it is.
I think at first it's strong Cockney.
Yes.
And then towards the end of his life, it's got an Aussie twang. But I like Goose. Goose is great. Did you ever see his face? I can't remember because they're wearing gas masks.
No,
I can't remember if you see Goose's
I think
not.
Even when, yeah, I don't think you do. You just get shot up because basically they go into this military, it seems to be like a military building. Looking for these filters, they find a survivor who's surviving by breathing off an oxygen tank. And he asks, like
a spear.
Yes, he asks Frank something, and Frank gets offended. He's offended by what Frank's reply, and goes after him with a spear, which I think is supposed to be a mocked up version of one of the harpoons from the fishermen.
Right. And it looks so flimsy.
I mean, it looks better than their costumes.
Backpacks. Oh, well, I was fine with the hazmat suit, but the backpacks.
So he goes and beats Frank up. Thinks he's killed him. Where's Frank's costume? And then Goose is like, hey, Frank, do you find anything? Frank? And then he pulls a gun on him before.
And the points leading up to that, I think it's pretty tense.
Yes.
And because of the drones and the whirs of the music. But the problem is, it's that same song that gets played all the way through. Except the piano scene. So, maybe they just want to hit home. This is Anthony Moore doing this. Don't forget.
And then there's a weird bit where so Frank recovers, sees a vision of the girl from Angel's Egg.
Like Who Framed Roger Rabbit style cutout.
Yes, but then there's like a little girl playing her as well.
Oh yeah, the cosplay.
Yes.
Forgot about that.
And then he wakes up in a hospital. And meanwhile, Angel's like, I should help him. Or should I help him? Is he a good person? Is he a bad person? And then the brother says, this is what might happen if he's a bad person. And then we cut to the fisherman scene from Angel's Egg.
Which frustrates me because they foreshadow that one so ham-fisted. It's either him or the lady tells a story about like a fisherman called like Tazaria or something. Right. And then you get the fishing scene.
He's also drawn a picture of the girl from Angel's Egg at this point.
Yeah, it's like on a cell. It's like on one of those see-through animation cells.
And
on the wall.
They have a meal, he pops on his gas mask and plays the piano for far too long. And then,
for a second, I've got an interesting observation here.
Okay, good.
That lady that he meets.
Yes.
I thought she was all in his head. Because at the very beginning, him and Goose reference like an old girlfriend of his called Daisy.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's in his head. Because when he's playing the music, you see these weird scenes of them on holiday or something. It's like, it's cut together and it's scenes that don't exist in the film. Or maybe he's imagining a future with her, perhaps, I don't know. But I have a theory that that's meant to be Daisy and she doesn't exist at all.
That is Dr. Sarah, according to the cast list.
Bloody cast list, ruining the theory. And at this point in my notes, because I kind of did a timeline of notes, I've got, I needed this to end 40 minutes ago. So I don't know how long I'd be watching when I put that. But hopefully over 40 minutes. I was furious at this point. It was so annoying because I don't like the way they re-edit Angel's Egg to suit the film. But as you said at the start, they've probably built the film around what they had of Angel's Egg. So I don't know what to believe anymore. And doesn't the lady say a weird line about you should have spanked me with asteroids? Who says that?
I don't know.
I've got this written down. He should have spanked me with asteroids in quotations, so it's not just a note that I've thought of.
Well, it's not on the IMDb page. The IMDb page's quotes are, Dr. Sarah, that was a wonderful tune. Angel's brother, if you put your ear to the heavens and hear the sound of crying, that is Tazaria alone on a planet with no fish.
There we go. There's a story.
Angel, I tested him with a sign and he fell down confused. Angel, I didn't mean to, for him to drag his bones after me. Apparently also known as After Rabbit.
What is?
This film.
Oh.
Unless that's a weird quirk of Incognito. There we go. I think that might be like the German name, because I was using a VPN earlier.
Right.
When I go back to the UK site, it does say in the aftermath. It was released 1988 in Australia. It was 1988 straight to video in the UK and straight to video in Germany. Known in Australia as In the Aftermath, Angels Never Sleep, and in West Germany...
Which I like that full title.
...as After Rabbit. IMDb says it was an Australian production.
Ah, so that's probably where I got it
from. That's probably where I got it from.
Bloody Aussie.
Let's have a look. Kenneth McCabe played Goose. Let's see what else he's done.
I might just tell him where he's from.
He was in Beverly Hills 90210 as a chauffeur.
I mean, he's got a few roles there. Maybe
few roles, not
big
many.
Ones, but...
He was Decker in Sex Files, Mr. X. Bergman in Confessions of a Cool Girl.
Wow. I wonder where he's from. That's what we need to know.
I don't know.
Damn it. What a shame.
Yeah, I mean, it's a curio. I remember it. It's one of these things which would get aired late at night on ITV if there was like an emergency. They had to put an emergency film on.
It
was...
Stick it on!
Yes.
Stick it on! It makes sense. It's exactly the kind of film I would come downstairs to, or like, I don't know, I'd flick on the telly at a silly time in the morning and just go, what is this? What is this? Oh man, because it's been a while at this point since I'd seen Angel's Egg. When they have the scenes, I was like, is this a new scene? Because there's some of it that gets shown that I couldn't remember. So I thought, oh, maybe they got the B-roll footage that they didn't use in the actual original animated one. But that wasn't the case. What a shame. Ah, it's so weird. Like, what is the story? Because the egg pulsates, the eggs shoot lasers out of it. And I've got here, it clears the sky from the god and fumes. What's the god? Why have I put the god? Is that a typo when I've wrote that? I don't know.
Well, I'm going to tell you now, Kenneth McCabe is American.
Oh, he's putting it on.
Yes.
What an actor.
He also doesn't put this film on his resume.
Oh, that's a bit of a shame, because it's not good, but it's not bad as if to leave it off.
Yes.
Especially when he's one of the best things about it. So I would chuck that on in an instant. But yeah, it's a wee... There's times I just felt like, where's this going? And there's times I feel... Nothing happens. A bit like Angel's Egg, weirdly, but I feel like nothing happens over such a long period of time. Like, the bit between him dying and him passing out, waking up in the hospital, it felt like an eternity. The girls leading him around and stuff, it felt like an eternity.
Yeah, it's not very good. But it is weird.
But I like the reasoning behind. I think the reasoning behind it, now that it's come to light, like the to get the footage, is fantastic.
Yeah, well, I assume that's how it works. I mean, that's me guessing the reason. That's why I'm curious as to what the, how this actual, that's what it feels like based on the bits which have got money spent on them.
Yeah, I mean, how much, roughly, I'd just take from like a, an imaginary guess here, how much do you reckon it would cost to acquire such rights?
I reckon pretty cheap at the time because it was a flop movie.
Damn. Maybe I need to keep my eye out for some crap and just pick it up. And...
But I am curious whether those rights are still held up, and that's why this is like the Mamoru Oshii thing. We've one of the few Mamoru Oshii things we've not got.
That's a damn. See, I take it back saying it's cool now because that's frustrating to think if that's the case. The worst thing is, I looked through a lot of the YouTube comments. People are very fond of this film.
Well, like, I bet if they caught it late at night and they didn't have the context of Angel's Egg, then it's probably, yes, it'll stick with you the same way Angel's Egg sticks with you.
Yeah, that's a point. That's a good point. Yeah.
It's just we're coming at it from the other direction.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's a lady here that says, I watched this with my 3-year-old. 20 years ago, I watched this with my daughter, aged 3 at the time, and loved it. Loved it then, love it now, and the music is amazing. It's not really a kid's film.
Yeah, but there's nothing in there which is too bad, is there?
I think it's a bit spooky when they're going in like the facility and there's like the dead people sat there. And I think there's a good tension there. And yeah, I think it's a bit tense, but then again, a 3-year-old's not.
It has no reviews on Amazon.com.
Is that for the Blu-ray? Or...
Yes, for the DVD here.
So we can actually get the DVD in this country?
No, you can't. But you'd have to ship it over.
Oh, bollocks.
you were thinking of getting it.
I just think it's... I just don't feel... It's one of those films that I feel like nobody knows exists, which is fair enough.
I think people who are really into Angel's Egg know it exists.
Probably.
Yes.
But imagine just sticking this on for someone.
I knew this existed before Angel's Egg.
Oh.
I think I was... Cause I don't think I ever saw... I never saw... This is the first time I've seen it. Mm-hmm. But I definitely remember seeing it listed in the Radio Times or TV Times or whatever. And... Or probably more likely on teletext. Oracle. Then I knew about Angel's Egg. When would I have seen the bit of Angel's Egg I saw? 97, I guess. January, right at the start of 97. And then I learned, or maybe I'd learned beforehand, that this film had got bits of that film in it.
Yeah.
So it was definitely always in the back of my mind for probably most of my anime fandom.
So it's always been clawing its way out, trying to see me, watch me.
Yeah, and Angel's Egg was always the one of those, it's a really weird film, you won't understand it. I think it was not so much it's a really weird film, it's more like, you'll watch it, you won't understand what's going on.
People love that kind of stuff. Self-included.
Yes.
Self-included. It's funny, imagine seeing this before Angel's Egg and thinking this was Angel's Egg. Or like seeing what you see in the film, and then somebody says to you, oh, I've seen Angel's Egg, and then they show you this. It's not bloody Angel's Egg. It skews you. it would wreck with you. Yeah, it would ruin it. It only makes me appreciate Angel's Egg way more. Way, way more.
Let's have a look at the reviews on IMDb.
Oh, gosh.
Let's sort by... review date. 1999. Quirky but fun. 7 out of 10. July 1999. Pokemon style animation and live action. Great sound job. Now, to be fair... This is a review from somebody who says, I was the sound designer, sound supervisor, editor on this film, and it sounds great for a first timer. July 2001, 1 out of 10. Worst tampering with a piece of art I've ever seen.
One of my reviews.
Yes. 1 out of 10, June 2002. This is an awful movie. This is somebody who doesn't call Angel's Egg Angel's Egg. They have to call it Tenshi no Tamago.
Oh, right. You can't take this one serious then.
2006, 4 out of 10. Okay film, would watch again, not worth buying. 2006, not that bad.
That's never a good one. Like, no strong feelings either way. Not that bad.
Yeah, this sounds like somebody who saw it early in the morning on ITV. 2006, captivating in a way. 8 out of 10 they give it.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Some of the anime scenes have a haunting imagery to them, which the music, again, complements well. Also, love.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that at all, because on its own, I agree with that totally, but
yes.
When you know the truth...
Excellent. Ellipses. Another ellipses. Music. From 2007. 10 out of 10, though, for the review. But that 10 out of 10 is only for that Carnavalito Tango.
Which is, I would recommend people either watch this on YouTube, sorry, but, or just watch that piece. Or do both, in fact.
Definitely. Oh, this one's put one.
I would be proud of it. If I'd made this, I'd honestly be... Because I feel it'll withstand the test of time. I think people will come back to this film.
But,
because of Angel,
but
Egg
also,
and vice versa.
Also, it's terrible.
Yeah.
The final review is from 2007, which gives it 8 out of 10, calling it effective.
I don't know what it's trying to be to, like, justify it as effective.
Yeah, I didn't find it effective. I found it, unless the effect was to lull me into a sense of slumber. I think I'm over watching films which look like this. You know, I think like in the 90s particularly, it was like, yeah, DIY aesthetic.
Yeah.
Look, we did it. We fought against the system. We got a film made. The reason this is clicking is because this review mentions Clerks. I think Clerks was like a big thing of that, and also... What was the first Robert Rodriguez film? Mariachi.
Not Machete. That's the one.
Yeah.
Nowhere near Machete.
I think those were like the two poster children for low-budget cinema.
Doing that
in
thing,
the 90s.
Yeah. Well, there's someone I forgot about, but there's those, what do they call, like, trauma films?
Yes, and they were less than a poster for... They were like the poster before that. The really dirty, filthy, grotty poster.
Yeah, which is not something I've ever watched.
They're pretty much universally terrible. And normally, a lot of them are like stuff that Lloyd Kaufman's... like, he was the only person who would ever license the film.
Oh, okay.
But then the stuff they made themselves, and they've always got that. They've got that one stunt they filmed and recycled again and again and again. Because that used to be an extra on their DVDs. Because I have one of their DVDs. I've got Alfred Packer the musical, or Cannibal the musical, the student film that Trey Parker and Matt Stone made.
Ah, yes, yeah,
yeah. But
I didn't know that was a. So that was by the same company? Or they...
They distributed it, yes.
Distribute, right.
In America, at the very least. And Lloyd Kaufman was pretty good at publicity for... Because I remember he'd show up as a guest on Wogan in the 80s.
Whoa.
So I think he was good value as a guest. But yeah, I've not watched anything. And the only thing I liked of theirs beyond that was I think I remember... Because I think Channel 4 showed a bunch of them as a season once.
Toxic Avenger.
No, not that. Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD, I think that was the one.
Oh, I've got this up. This looks ridiculous.
that I think I enjoyed, but whether that is just me convincing myself I enjoyed is another matter.
God, I'm sure somebody I lived with at uni had loads of these. Did they do like a DVD box set at one point? Like,
oh,
a,
I'm sure they've done multiple ones.
I'm sure he picked this up and I was like, oh, I don't know whether I want to watch any of these. And I was a film student. Could be watching this kind of stuff.
Well, or maybe you do need to watch it.
Yeah.
You need to watch the bad stuff to know what, to really appreciate the good stuff.
I don't know what else to say about this, really.
But did you have some more stuff to say about Angel's Egg? You've watched
I do, actually, because I decided, because I thought we were going to watch this again. I'll try and keep this brief, because chances are there may be bits that we may have mentioned before. Let's try and go through this. So, the start of the film opens with, I'm going to call him Jonathan. What the hell? That's not his name. You don't know his name. Oh, damn it.
The soldier.
There's like a weird hand gesture he does, and it's like crushing an egg. It makes the sound of a breaking of an egg, which I'll come back to this point. In fact, I'm going to dive through it now. I think he is imagining the girl completely. I think it's completely in his imagination because of the statue. The statue at the end on that big eye orb thing, which presumably he sees at the beginning, but we don't know the chronological path the film takes. So that scene at the beginning may not be the beginning. It could be years before, it could be years after. But he hears her voice in his head. Who are you? Who are you? That's a recurring line. So I think he completely dreamt her up from the statue that is on the side of that big eye. I think it's a dream for him. He exists. And I think he's Jesus. Did we mention that previously?
No.
Because he carries the cross, which is his, like, whether it's a staff or a spear or a gun, whatever the hell it is. He carries it, and he also has two bandages around his hands, which could cover up is it the stigmata it's called?
Yeah, I think we've mentioned that before. I don't know if he is supposed to be Jesus, but I think there's obviously the religious imagery is there.
It's huge.
Which we've discussed until then. I think in the first one we discussed that a lot. In the second one we definitely discussed the stuff that Amano mentioned of like, it's up to you to figure out what it means. And then Amano goes, it's divorced.
I also think she awakes in a nuclear bunker at the start. Because, I don't know why, without seeing it in front of us, but it's very nuclear bunker-esque. And it opens without any colour. It's in black and white, which I didn't actually realise. But I'm sure it's completely absent of any colour, which reminded me of, I don't know if I mentioned this, but there's a famous actress who I know, because I've watched her films at university, actually, a black and white actress called Lillian Gish. And the face they give her when she first wakes up is the double of her. So if you want to Google that.
Yes, I can see that.
But it's fascinating even watching it again. Because I remember we came up with the thing that obviously it takes place on the bottom of a boat and it's kind of underwater? We don't know. But there's a point where she's collecting water and it looks like there's nothing going into the jug. Which would, I don't know, I'm getting confused again. And the tanks, they have like turtle's heads, which I didn't realise the first time round. You know, the cannon itself, it's got like, they've all got like a turtle's face on the end.
Okay, that's what you want to see.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's
whereas
true,
I just
true.
Saw them as giant penises.
There's something as well which kind of backs up my idea that it's not chronologically in time as we watch the film, which it's to do with the way she gets the jar. She fills the jar at the start of the film. See, it's so hard to remember. But there's definitely a chronological thing with this. I'm telling you now, it's got to be. gotta be. And I also tried to find, you know, the huge bird skeleton that they go to?
Yes.
I wanted to find out if the taking water to, like, a large bird or, like, an angel was, like, a thing in folklore or anything like that. Because she's stacking up these jars of water, but I couldn't find anything. No, I keep going around.
Well, I wonder whether that's supposed to be like you make all these prayers and then you get no response. Because if there was a god, it's already dead.
Yeah, it's good. I might add that to future notes. I like that. There's a line the dude says, which is he's referencing something. He says, they forgot where they came from and how long they'd been there. And he says this to the girl. And I think that is just him in this void, this dream. Whether he doesn't know who he is, because she asks multiple times, who are you, who are you, who are you? He never answers. I don't think it's because he doesn't want to, I think it's because he doesn't know. So there's definitely a thing with time and... Oh, it's good.
So if you had to use this footage in a live-action film, what would your live-action film be about?
God, that is a hard question. I don't know what I would pluck from it, because so many good bits. I mean, I would leave out the bits where he's sat staring at the camera for way too long, which adds to the tension. He doesn't break. There's a point where he looks at into the viewer and he doesn't break eye contact whatsoever, and I think it lasts like 3 or 4 seconds too long to add to the tension. But what would I use? God knows.
I'd cut it so it actually was a Lupin the Third movie after all.
Oh God. Also, we're allowed to paste in, like, splice in other characters.
Yeah, I would. I'd put in live action people do it the other way round.
Oh, now we're talking.
Green screen it all and then just paste people
in. Yeah, I mean, there's room because there's lots of, like, streets and stairs. You could have, like, somebody walking along with them or running away when the fishermen come, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like those music videos, if you follow the Club Dorothée YouTube channel, which has got all these clips from the old Club Dorothée show from France, which showed a lot of anime, but they do these music videos with the people who did the theme tunes, where they'd green screen themselves in, like, hanging out with the Dragon Ball characters, hanging out with the Sailor Moon characters. Do it like that. Where it completely changed the tone of it by just green screening in people having a really good time.
But they don't do anything fun. Like, there's no point in this film where anybody is having fun.
But wouldn't you just like to see a middle-aged French singer goofing around next to them?
Oh, one more thing. When she, at the end, when she realizes the egg is broke, she jumps, like, off a cliff or whatever it is and lands in the water. Her reflection is an older version of her.
Yes. We've discussed that.
Have we mentioned that? Oh, damn it.
Yeah, this was why I was thinking it was limited. It was diminishing returns. But I'm definitely up for doing it again next year, from taking a break of watching the actual film this year.
We need a guest. Because I want to hear what other people...
Yes, we do.
We can say, nah, you're wrong!
We should, force people, kidnap somebody, force them to watch it.
Yeah. The worst thing is, I think, when you watch it, I think you're like, bloody hell. Like, personally, I know you're not as in love with it as I am. I really, really like this film. And I think there's a lot of joy to get. No, maybe not joy, but there's a lot to gain from it. Every time I've watched it, I've picked up something different. And I think it's because you lose... There's points where you can't help but lose attention to it. Especially on multiple watches. You lose attention, you kind of zone out. So then when you watch it next time... You might zone in on that bit, and then you pick up something different.
Yeah, I think it's great. If I hadn't been ill the past weekend, I would have got it watched again, because I was in the mood for watching it again.
It's weird, because I put it on, and I'm like, although you kind of fade out, as I say, it's still a good watch. And I hate rewatching stuff. There's nothing I hate more than rewatching a film. because I never get as much from it normally, but this is a big exception.
Well, possible spoiler for our episode 300 is currently in my top 100.
This is, yeah?
Yes.
Good, good.
Higher than I thought it was going to be. So I may make it lower. Yeah, I definitely...
Oh, you can't do that.
I'm definitely going to make it lower.
I need to go through mine. I need to start constructing my list.
I need to add things in, because there's things from the past season that need to go in there quite high.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've already put that one in. But there may be something airing in the current season that needs to go in quite high. Even though it's not finished.
I need to crack on with mine. You need to give me the link to that thing again.
Oh, yeah, the thing I used for doing comparison.
Which is genius.
Yeah, it did a pretty good... I think it did a better job with the top end than it did with the rest of it. But
Well, I like the kind of... Because I'm quite biased when I see titles listed... Like, I do prefer that to that, whereas I'm much more objective when it's 1v1.
Yeah, which says this is a site which lets you make a list and then it pulls out things and you say, which one's better out of these two? And then you go through that forever, seemingly, but at the end you've got a list that is ordered based on that.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea to do it that way.
Yep, yep, yep. Righty ho, that
Watch
was
Angel's Egg.
Angel's Egg. All done and dusted for another year.
For another year.
Not going to watch In the Aftermath again, though, next year.
No. Oh, we should make... Whoever we get on, we should make them watch it. Tell them we're going to watch that again as well. In the Aftermath.
No. I want guests to enjoy themselves when they come on the podcast. I mean, sometimes it seems like I don't, but I generally do.
Yeah, to be honest, that is a sure-fine way to get people not to come back by making them, and especially for us to then say, yeah, we didn't bother them.
Yeah, we're not a let's watch a crappy anime podcast or a let's watch a crappy film podcast.
It's happened,
but generally not planned, because normally one of us likes the anime. It's the other one thinks it's crappy. True.
Yeah, we only talk about good stuff, combined.
Yes.
It's only the best.
That's Dynamite in the Brain, finished for another week. If you liked it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast aggregator of choice. Next week on the show, it's the return of the famous anime podcast. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Stop the recording.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.